Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of December, recording at 9:41 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In the Asian stock markets, they were mostly steady, with modest gains in China, Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, but interestingly and notably, Asia's former leaders, and those are the ASEAN countries, they continue to range, having lost upside momentum. Now, European stock markets were mostly higher today. For a change, the DAX was not, and that is down just a merest fraction. Modest gains in Europe, all under 1%. And the Americas were mostly a little bit better. I see Brazil's down 0.5% here today. In the U.S., I spent the day in the plus column, but gave up some of those gains. But nonetheless, we're here with the S&P 500 index at 1241.59. That's not a bad level at all, and up 11.34% on the year. 11.34%. Okay, so what's taking place elsewhere? The meltdown in these long-dated government bond prices, in other words, the melt-up in yields, continued here today. The U.S. 10-year bond futures are down over 1.5%, and the yield pushed up to almost 3.5% on that 10-year today. And precious metals, so they seesawed a little bit, but we're mostly in the plus column. Silver ended down a little bit. It's currently trading 29.48. Platinum set a fairly wide range on the day, but it's currently at 17.06. That's up over $8, $870. And gold, a little quiet in here, 1396, but very steady overall. The industrial metals, some light profit taking, I think, is the, I'm just going to check on that, a little bit mixed here, but aluminium and lead had modest gains, a little bit of light profit taking elsewhere. So it's a quieter day, although cotton was strong, getting back up to test its highs. Oil down a tad at 88.23. And the grain and bean complex, it's a little bit easier, a bit more so on the wheat. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, the action has been very steady overall. We haven't had anything breaking downwards that I'm aware of. We've had some markets that were looking a bit ropey last month that have seen some pretty decent rallies, and that includes U.S. financials. And of course, Japan has bounced back. Since the yen has weakened somewhat, and the U.S. performance is competitive in here right now. Europe is outperforming, for instance, all of Asia except for Stockholm. It probably isn't outperforming Norway either, but that's not registered. That's not on my current screen, and it's a little bit ahead of Germany. S&P is about a point higher on the year than Germany, a percentage point, that is. So steady action generally. Markets obviously liked the extension of the Bush tax cuts, And what that meant is you would have seen from Rod Smith's report, The Weekly View, that that's probably increased the budget deficit by the tune of some $300 billion dollars. But people liked the near-term stimulus effect that provides. And I think part of the trade-off there was that there's more welfare spending actually going on in the U.S. economy. On steroids, if you will, the U.S. economy's performance remains one of gradual improvement. And so stock markets have generally liked that. Bond markets obviously have not. Now, this bond market arena is really important, and I want to talk about this for a little longer. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that people were talking about depression and deflation, and we had those, you know, record low yields for U.S. treasuries, and all of the Western bond markets, so with the exception of the Asian, I beg your pardon, with the exception of the Southern European and Ireland problem areas concerning sovereign debt, yields were exceptionally low. Well, they've turned around really dramatically in the last couple of months, and up over 100 basis points on the 10 years here in terms of the U.S. Treasuries. And one of the reasons for that is that investors are no longer expecting to see that deflation and depression scenario pan out. You know, Fuller Money never thought that was going to happen. But we weren't huge investors in long-dated government bonds, for better or worse. It would have been for better for a while, and certainly for worse for a while. But we did not have those positions. But my point is that the people who have been heavily long bonds have had a vested interest in talking their side of the coin, which is minimal growth and these deflationary pressures. Well, hey presto, we don't see that. Instead, what we see is commodity price inflation. Now, precious metals have been going up for a long time. Some people may regard that as a harbinger of inflation. What concerns me more is the agricultural price inflation. That's mainly foods, but it also includes a very important commodity in cotton, which has seen some of the biggest gains. So inflation pressures are building up there. The crucial one, crude oil, has not broken up out of its range, or at least not decisively, but it's on the higher side of that range at $88.22 for NYMEX crude as I speak, and Brent's about a dollar higher here. So there isn't any commodity right now that's in the doldrums. Most of them show higher scope, and what I hear on the grain and bean situation is that crops in South America now are continuing to suffer. And that the final yields that are announced, the final stock picture that will be announced by the U.S. On the 12th of January will probably show that carryover stocks are really quite low. And so we do have scope here to see another spike to the upside. Now, I'm positioned for that, but I'm definitely hoping that it doesn't happen, because the risk here is, and this is not a forecast, but it's more to point out what could go wrong in this relatively comfortable scenario that we have seen here. And the answer is commodity price inflation. That could go badly wrong due to the industrial demand from the recovery due to speculative demand as commodities are viewed as an asset, which they were never intended to be, and also due to the vagaries of weather, and that's putting it nicely, which has damaged crop yields. So if we get further pushes to the upside, let alone spikes, particularly if it happens in crude oil and the staple foods such as corn, wheat, and soybeans, rough rice, then that's going to cause collateral damage. And the first victim would be the bond markets. Now, once we start getting US 10-year long-dated government bond yields up above 4%, and we haven't really seen that, you've got to go back several years until we last saw that. It was back in 2008. And if you get them moving much above that level up into the 5.5% level next year, and that's not a forecast, but I'm just doing it on if this happens, these will be some of the consequences. And let me review that again. Above 4%, people are going to start to ask questions and to worry a bit more. But I think that that would still probably be friendly for stock markets. But you get long-dated government bond yields, you get the 10-year up around 5.5%, and that's not all that high historically. But then I think we will start to see the real collateral damage, and I think that would be becoming an increasingly strong headwind for stock markets. And of course, we wouldn't be talking about U.S. Treasuries in isolation because yields elsewhere would also have moved higher. So the higher long-dated government bond yields, the higher bond yields go in general, the more competitive they will make bonds, particularly high-quality corporate bonds, as an asset once again, creating competition for stock markets. And also it will be increasing borrowing costs for corporations that still wish to raise capital. So this would unleash a slew of negative factors here. Again, it hasn't happened, but it's going to happen. I just don't know when, but I think we'll be lucky if we get through 2011 without some sort of headwind coming from bond markets. Now, if I'm wrong on that, what will happen is that bonds will just range extensively in additional base building for the yields, top building for the long-dated government bond prices. That would quite suit me because it would be a benign environment for equities, and it would give me plenty of additional chances to do my baby steps programmed shorting in the Treasury bond futures. But I need to be taking a look not just at what I'd like to see, but of course, looking at existing trends and patterns and what some of those might support. And I frighten myself when I look at the weekly charts of corn, soybeans, and wheat because I can see those patterns supporting substantially higher prices. And my take on the fundamentals is that the situation is fragile. In other words, it could easily lead to spikes to the upside. Again, with crude oil, I think it's only a matter of time. Maybe that time is a number of months or possibly even a year or two away. But again, I will be very surprised if we get through 2011 without seeing at least $100 a barrel crude oil. How quickly it moves up will be an important factor, but certainly above $100 a barrel, we are getting into to headwind territory. So again, 2010 has been a great year, and I think we'll end the year steady, been a great year for Fuller Money Themes, I should say, and I think we'll end the year on a decent performance. And I think we'll probably go into the first quarter of the new year in reasonably good shape, but we can see where the problems are likely to arise. And I certainly don't think that it's going to be a trade war, as I've mentioned before, at least not a serious trade war. But I do think that the commodity price inflation and the rising long-term interest rates, that those will be real factors that we will have to contend with. It's just a matter of how quickly these developments occur, and that will certainly be an influence on timing here for stock markets and also commodity markets, because if commodities spike enough and push interest rates too high and cause central banks to tighten a little bit more quickly to choke off the rally in commodity markets, it'll rein those in as well. It's going to be interesting, and I think that there will be. I mean, this is sort of normal here to have interesting, sometimes volatile markets. It will create opportunities and also risks. And if we are try to remain analytically alert and relaxed about it, one man's risk is another man's opportunity. If we understand the risk, we can hopefully avoid it, or at least partially, and possibly use it to our advantage. That's the game plan. At any rate, what else to mention? In terms of currencies, we've got a battle royal going on here in terms of dollar yen, albeit within a relatively narrow range. My take on this is that the Bank of Japan and the Japanese government generally, the Ministry of Finance, are now serious about weakening the yen and taking steps to actually do it, albeit doing it with a relatively low profile, perhaps not to lose face, not to get other people talking about currency manipulation and so on. Well, every government manipulates its currency, and the Japanese need to manipulate theirs lower. On the other side of the coin, we have the speculators, and quite possibly China, which doesn't mind seeing Japan inconvenienced with a stronger yen, and so it has been buying some yen. And the speculators really are testing the resolve out of Japan, and so this is going to continue for a while longer. I'm positioned to see the BOJ win this, and I think they probably will, because the yen was at historic highs against the US dollar, and I don't think that's really justified on a fundamental basis. And therefore, I think that we will see the dollar appreciate in next year at some stage. I wouldn't be surprised. It's currently at 83.66, or 83.66 yen to the US dollar, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're over 90 yen to the dollar at some point in 2011. Otherwise, though, I don't think we're going to have big drama in the currency markets. People keep getting excited about the euro breaking up. Well, good copy, but I don't think that's going to happen. The euro is at 133.77 here right now. The dollar is already well down. I think the current dollar rally has peaked, as I mentioned and illustrated yesterday. But basically, the US dollar index is range bound overall. So, I don't see any imminent big drama in the currency markets. That's probably a good thing, because there's sufficient drama elsewhere. And that's pretty much it. I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.